The reading from this third Sunday in Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God in us to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becomes saints, or obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke. And the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon, and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house, which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breast that nursed thee.' But he said, 'Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Thus far are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be ye followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath delivered himself for us. These are the opening words of the epistle for today's Mass, taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. These words lay forth one of the more difficult, and perhaps for some even repugnant, teachings of the spiritual life. The teaching that we are to come to God as little children, as most dear children. It is difficult for us to grasp this almost paradoxical demand of God. We're adults, after all. We're self-reliant. We're mature. We make big people decisions. We work hard. But God tells us to leave all of that, to humble ourselves, to lower ourselves, and have a simple trust in His work. To be like children to their parents. So how then are we to be like children? What is it to be a child to God? A child simply listens to their parents. They follow their parents' example. Even when the parent doesn't realize they're setting one, they learn from them, And they seek their approval constantly, trying to please mom and dad with all of their little advances in knowledge, ingenuity, or talent. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad was a bit of a history buff. And so I would always pose loaded questions to him, knowing the answer already. But I would always conclude, you know, right, Dad? Is that right, Dad? Right, Dad? So yes, yeah, that's right, son. The child doesn't worry about where the money comes from, where the food comes from, where the house comes from. They don't worry about paying bills or any of the hardships that the parents take upon themselves for the sake of raising the child. No, far from that. To a small child, none of this exists. All that exists is his relationship with his parents. A relationship of love. A relationship that grows the small child into a good adult. Into a good adult. Simple trust. Faith that mom and dad provide. A sincere love. This is what God wants from us. He is our Father. If a child has profound love for and complete trust in his earthly father, how much more should we have for our Father in heaven? How much more confidence should we put into God, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, as St. Paul tells us? Recently, as I was perusing some smaller news stations, I like to find smaller news stations, I find they have less of a dog in the fight, so they're typically more honest and not so one-sided. And I found a story that I think can really illustrate this point. There was a man who had a beloved son, and this son loved his father. This man would take his son to school every day, and every day he would tell his son not to worry. He would be right there to pick him up. He told his son constantly, "I will always be here for you, no matter what." Then one day, a great and terrible earthquake hit the man's home and devastated it. And he ran from his wife to his son's school, only to find it reduced to a smoking pile of rubble. Frantically, he rushed to the spot in this rubble where his son's class ought to have been, and he began pushing it out of the way. And he kept digging and digging and digging. And some parents came to help him, searching for their own children. But after a few hours of frantic searching, they gave up. But not this man. He had made a promise to his boy that he intended to keep, even if just to find his body. And he kept digging, hour after hour, through blood, through sweat and tears. He kept tearing away at the broken rock and the twisted metal. After many more hours, even the police and fire department tried to convince him of the hopelessness of his situation. He should just go back and let them clean up. They'll find the bodies. The man ignored their advice and he kept digging. Finally, after more than 38 hours, he pulled back a stone and he heard his son's little voice through the debris. And he shouted for his son and his son shouted back. And as he kept digging, he could hear his son encouraging the other surviving children in his class. "You see, I told you we just needed to wait. I told you my dad would be here no matter what." This story comes from Armenia in 1989, when a 6+ magnitude earthquake ripped through that region. You see, this is the childish love that we should have for God. The trust that God is faithful to his promises. We should trust that God has a plan for our salvation, and that no matter how grim or how hopeless or scary life seems to get, he will see us through to our heavenly home if we have faith, hope, and love. Even when it seems the world is collapsing around us as the sun's school, we should believe this firmly and unflinchingly, that God will be there for us, no matter what. This, after all, is the lesson of the cross. No matter how dark the night got on the evening before the Passion, no matter how heavy the cross was, the Father's love was still there. And what seemed at the time like the greatest defeat of history was really the greatest victory the world has ever seen. Our Lord walks before us. Let us follow Him as most dear children and walk in love. May God bless you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.